Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a 27-24 loss for the Tennessee Titans yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Hope everybody's well today. We're good.
Hope you are as well. And Corey, in honor of Halloween coming up this week, I've got a question for you right off the bat. What is scarier for Titans fans, the boogeyman or the third down defense that they've trotted out there?
Oh, well, the third down defense is flat out terrifying. I saw The Exorcist as a kid, and that kept me up for a week. I don't know if that kept me up as long as the Titans' third down defense right now.
I wonder if Linda Blair could maybe come off the edge with that head spinning around.
After six games, Linda Blair has exactly the amount of sacks as Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley combined.
Well done. Well done.
Very nice.
And so, more green vomit.
That's right. That's Corey, to that point, what in the world's going on with Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley? What are you seeing from those guys? And have they given you any hope whatsoever thus far that they're going to turn it around at some point this season?
Well, Clowney has gotten close, and Clowney has gotten pressure. So he has contributed some, but you're not paying for some. You know, it's like when Logan Ryan didn't have any picks his first two seasons. I said, Logan Ryan's playing well, but for $10 million a year, he needs to change games. He needs to win games. And last year, he did that. For $9 and $12 million a year, they need to make plays that change and win games. And they're not doing that to this point. You know, why can't they win fast enough? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's not like either of these guys are over the hill, certainly. But it's not happening. Now, what did Ben throw, 49 times yesterday?
Yeah.
And I'll bet at least 20 of those were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I mean, there were a lot of quick hitters where the pass rush had no time to get there. So I do get that. But I do also get we are six games in, okay? And they have got to get – you get to a point where you just have to say there are certain players we have to get more from. And the Titans have to get more from those guys.
So, Kevin Byard yesterday, Corey, talked about a variety of things on the third down defense, and he used the word coordination. He also talked about pride, and I think the Titans showed a lot of pride in the second half, and
yeah.
I don't know how in some ways they even got it to where they did, but they got it there. But what about the idea of, Dean Pease being a huge loss? And
It's a massive loss.
Yeah. So what are you seeing just related to that, to coordinator, that is different from last year to this year, apart from, like you said, certain guys just have to make plays?
Look, I'm not going to be able to go and diagnose play-by-play on the defense and say, well, this is what they should have done here, and they dialed up this here, and they should do this. I can't do that. But you know who can? Dean Pease, because that's what he does. I mean, he's been one of the elite defensive coordinators in the league for the last 20, 30 years. And, we had Dick LeBeau here and Dean Pease, all right? We got kind of spoiled with the Titans at the defensive coordinator position because both those guys are really, really good. And, look, I know Mike Vrabel had a tough circumstance in Houston because he had a lot of injuries, but he's been a defensive coordinator 1 year, and his defense finished 32nd in the league, okay? And that's all I have to go on with that. And right now the Titans defense is struggling, and they need to find someone who can somehow figure out a way. Now, the promising thing is they do make plays, okay? So while they're struggling and struggling, they do make plays. They did have three interceptions yesterday. They do come up with plays, but as I'm sure Coach will say today, it just has to be more consistent. You can't make, a play a quarter or wait to the second half to start making plays. You got to make plays all game long. And I don't remember what was the third down number, 15 of 18 or 13 of 18. It was horrific. I mean, you know, as Kevin Byard says, you just get to a point where, you know, guys, that can't happen. I mean, that just doesn't happen in the National Football League. There's a problem there. You know, coverage isn't tight enough. Pass rush isn't good enough. That's a double dose. They both got to be better.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, Steven Goskowski misses the field goal yesterday that could have tied the game and sent it to overtime. And then the stat flashes up on CBS after that. He's 5 of 11 inside 40 this year. It's perfect beyond 50, which to me, you flip-flop those things around and I can at least live with it at that point. How concerned are you about Steven Goskowski and the Titans kicking game as they move forward here?
Well, I mean, what are the numbers outside of the Denver game? Not that you can throw out a game, but that was the first one. And since then, I feel like he's been pretty good. I mean, the 51-yarder he hit, he drilled through. You know, obviously he needs to make that kick. But you know, I catch some flack because he didn't lose the game. All right, they had an interception on the Steelers' 30-yard line, went 3 and out, and took 3 points. You know, they get those 4 points, they win that football game. There's plenty of other areas. You know, he didn't shank a potamus it. He didn't miss it by a mile. Yeah, disappointing. I'm not horribly, horribly concerned right now. Would have liked to make that kick. Yeah, I would have liked Ryan Tannehill not to have had intentional grounding two plays earlier. So, yeah.
Well, he is 1 for 4 the last two games.
Is he?
Yeah, because he missed both against Houston. So it's almost because like you said, so he's 1 for 4 at Denver, and of course, you know, misses an extra point and all that stuff. And then he goes 2 for 2.
Covers six, it up.
Yeah, right. So I would agree with you that there are bigger concerns. But it's going to be really interesting moving forward. I mean, I guess basically what? Greg Joseph on the Bucs practice squad, you know, extend
Tucker McCann still on the Titans practice
and
squad.
And you got Tucker here. I mean, I think Greg Joseph was better than him in camp. Not a ton better, or else maybe they don't even make this move at all. But like you said,
who was
Corey,
that guy at Rice who hit the upright 4 times?
Oh, that was awesome. Gosh. I've never seen that before.
That guy. I mean, that's talent. Not just anybody can do that.
At least for like halftime trick shots, you know. Yeah. Big win for the Blue Raiders on that, by the way, for anybody who hasn't seen that. So, Corey,
can you be bowl bound with 2 wins this year?
You can be bowl bound with no wins this year.
All right, let's go. Let's do it, Bahamas.
Vandy, MTSU, and in the Bahamas. I like it. You mentioned the grounding call. I mean, so they're at the 25 with 55 seconds left after a great 3rd and 12 over. You know, bracketed A.J. Brown. Tannehill puts it right in there.
Good throw.
Beautiful. Yep. And it's like, oh, they're going to score a touchdown and win the game. Then that call comes. What did you think of that call? Because I do get, from my vantage point, I did think he was sailing it to Davis, but it went so far over his head that it looked like it was just a bailout.
Davis was on the seam. He was on the seam. He was on the hash. The ball wasn't close to anybody. I understand that people – look, if the roles are reversed – you want that to be grounding, all right? He may have thought, I got a receiver somewhere out on the right side. I'm just going to chuck it out there. But he's clearly in the pocket. He's clearly not trying to complete it to anybody. I would have called grounding on that as well.
And then the fact that they went deep to Davis, I know it's easy
I
now.
I did not like that call as well.
Yeah.
On third down, I mean, it was 3rd and 12. You know, we all hate the 10-yard throw on 3rd and 12, but in that situation where 3 points gets you to overtime, anything closer is better. And so, you know, look, you know, we all applaud going for the win when you get the win, but there was also time to keep moving forward. You know, you get the first down, you got plenty of time for more plays, and it wasn't like Corey was. I mean, he had a step. But he had no chance to catch that one. Was out of bounds. But I would have liked something anywhere in the field closer to give them a better kick or just a chance to move the chains.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, last thing for you here. Now that you've seen Pittsburgh in person, you've seen that front seven and everything they can do defensively, where do you think the Steelers rank right now in terms of the AFC pecking order?
Well, they're really good. And I think that was the great thing about yesterday's game. As I said, I thought we would learn a lot about both of these teams, and we did. And we learned that they're both really good because they went toe-to-toe. I mean, it's a game that came down to one kick, which is, you know, kind of what I thought it would be. But here's a shocking stat that I saw after the game when I looked at the box. Bud Dupree and Cameron Hayward combined for, I think, one tackle, and that was it.
Yeah.
No pass defense, no pressure, no quarterback hits. And that was a really pedestrian effort by those guys, or just a phenomenal effort by the Titans on the left side of the line. I was very surprised by that. TJ Watt was very good. He was very good. And then their passing game is different than it used to be. It's much shorter, but they're very good. I'll put them at second right now behind Kansas City. I still think Kansas City, you know, I'll put them number one in my power rankings this week because, look, if they're playing any team in the NFL, I'm going to pick Kansas City to win. It's that simple. But the Steelers are a threat. There's no question. The Titans are still a threat in the AFC, and the Steelers are a threat. They're both good football teams. They both got a lot of players all over the field.
And we'll get to see the little 2-3, you know, deciding game this week with Steelers-Ravens. So we'll get to test that out. So, Corey, got a week before the trading deadline. John Robinson's never really taken advantage of the trading deadline. I can think of a couple things he might want to do right now. Do you think he does anything? And if you're him, what are you targeting right now?
Well, one of the issues that they've got, guys, is that in the past few years, they've made quite a few moves and unloaded quite a few draft picks. And as a result, they're up against the cap now. So they need to have more draft picks on the roster moving forward. If you're going to afford Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and all these guys with all these higher-end salaries, you've got to have guys at the bottom end of your roster. So I don't know that John's in a position to deal many of his picks as he goes against the cap in 2021, 2022, and 2023. Now, having said that, you know, it depends on what would be out there. Now, if he could get, you know, is Marcus Golden available from the Giants, you know, a guy they could have signed in free agency, they got to get somebody who can hit the quarterback. I mean, it's that simple. And so if they could do that, and maybe, you know, some kind of veteran presence at corner, but how much is it going to cost you? If it's going to cost you a 6 or a 7, you know, you can do it, you know, possibly a 5, but if it's a pick 1 through 4, I have a hard time seeing this team unloading one of those.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So, Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Joe, who should they get?
I wrote about Riley Reiff last week. The Vikings are in pure salary dump mode. The Titans have about $8 million in space. He's making 5.9 this year. And like you said, the problem is who's hitting the quarterback, right? And I agree with you. Now, they do have 9 picks. They have a compensatory pick, so they've got extra picks this year.
They did unload Ngakoue, and so he was available.
That's true. Yeah, but they're in cap. I mean, they're just like the Eagles and some of these other teams, just cap misery right now. So, you know, maybe you can get someone like that who can actually make a difference for not a big price. But I agree with you. You don't want to touch those high picks.
No. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're all good.
No, good question. I like you interviewing us, Corey. You should interview us more on here.
Well, you threw it out there. I was intrigued.
Absolutely.
Thanks for taking time to join us, Corey. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion. Get your reaction to the loss as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.